All right, everybody, welcome to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for listening to this Monday edition of the show. It's, as always, your host, Louis DiBiase, and we're talking pass catchers today. Welcome back. It's the second last week before the NFL draft officially begins on Thursday, April 25th. So by Thursday, we will be officially 2 weeks away from the 2019 NFL draft in Tennessee, home of the Titans and Marcus Mariota, the Eagle that never was, and the Eagles pick at 25. We've got all your coverage for the Eagles and their draft and their needs and what they could do at picks 25, 53, 57. They got 9 picks to work with this year. You can check out all of our shows on the draft at LockedOnEagles.com. You can find them on Twitter at LockedOnBirds. And as always, on every podcast platform, anyone that you listen to, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, the Himalayan Podcast app, which is pretty new out there and is popular, just tell the Siri bot, just tell the Alexa bot, the smart devices on your device to play Locked On Eagles, and you'll hear all of our past shows. Again, recording 4 to 5 days a week, so you can definitely get your Eagles fix with us. We know there are other podcasts out there that talk birds, and we're glad that you choose us to spend a little time with you in your car or wherever you're listening. Once again, we always appreciate the listeners and your guys' feedback. We've loved the conversations. Even, you know, outside of doing this show, it's so fun to post the show and then have you guys tweet at us and get into conversations on Twitter, because not only do we tweet, or not only do we record 4 to 5 times a week, but we also are on Twitter, at least I know I am, 24/7. It doesn't matter if I'm at work, because I work at a radio station, so I have a computer always in front of me. If I'm at school, wherever I am, if you want to talk birds, just hit me up on Twitter, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and of course Gino as well on Twitter, at Gino_L-O-E. And if you follow us, you probably saw the announcement that we have a live draft show on Locked On Eagles, and that's going to be streaming both live video and live audio. We haven't decided what platform to do it on yet. We're either going to be on YouTube Live, on Twitter. Regardless, we will let you know when that, you know, news comes out. But as of right now, we're going to be live from 7 o'clock, an hour before the Cardinals are on the clock in the first round. It starts at 8 o'clock on Thursday the 25th. So we're going to have a pre-draft show from 7 to 8. We'll be live throughout the first round, giving you live reactions on every pick. I'm going to be sweating out each and every one for Josh Jacobs to fall to 25, or maybe Cleveland Farrell, one of my guys, as long as the Oakland Raiders don't break my heart. So you can check us out. It's going to be me, it's going to be Gino, and it's going to be Lars. We're going to be reacting live throughout the draft, and then after we will do a post-draft show as well. So hey, Locked On Eagles is the platform for you if you want to get your fix of Eagles and draft talk, and we got a lot of it. Not only the quality, but I would say the quantity as well here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So yeah, that's going to be Thursday, April 25th to start the first round, and we'll let you know more details as they come on Twitter. Again, at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, and at Gino_LOE. As for today on the show, I want to get into pass catchers. Me and Gino, I think it was about a month and a half ago, we did some offseason options for the Eagles, what they could do at wide receiver. Because they have Alshon Jeffrey, they have Nelson Agholor, but before they traded for DeSean Jackson, they pretty much knew, and I think everyone knew, that Golden Tate was not going to be someone they brought back. I just didn't think it was a great fit, you know, for the amount of money that he wanted, and he got paid pretty good. I think it was around $10 million to go play for the New York Giants. It was something that I think was clear. It was a rental player to help you in the playoffs. And hey, it did the job. Golden Tate ended up scoring the game-winning touchdown against the Chicago Bears in the wild card round. But I think everybody knew they needed to add speed, and they were going to gun for that in free agency or through trades. You know, we threw up the names John Brown, John Ross, DeSean Jackson, who I've been harping on a reunion for years, and it finally happened. But the receiving position is still very interesting, because now that they did trade for DeSean, and to me, you want 3 receivers, right? Even though the Eagles are going to use a lot of 12 personnel with Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, Doug Peterson is always going to be an 11-based offensive mind. It's just, that's what it's going to be. He's going to feature 11 personnel. It's going to keep defenses in nickel, and it's going to keep them smaller, and, you know, that's going to help. And just teams use 3 receivers now. That's really And you want three quality ones. It's not the days of where you can get by with one really good receiver. You see teams now loading up on weapons, not just receivers, but pass-catching tight ends. That's why you're going to probably see two Iowa tight ends go in the first round. And so I'm cool with the Eagles. I know there was some backlash that the Eagles are investing so much money in the receiver position, right, with Alshon Jeffrey making, I think combined, it's almost $30 million, right, because Nelson Agholor's on the $9.5 million fifth-year option. Alshon Jeffrey's hit, I think, is $14 million this year, and then Deshaun's as well is in the $9 million ballpark. So they're investing a lot of money in the position, but I think with all the backloaded deals and Carson Wentz's contract still not being extended, you can afford that luxury right now. Continue to max out every single year with Carson Wentz on that rookie deal and supply him with the weapons he needs. But Nelson Agholor is a free agent next year. I do hope they retain him. I think a 25-year-old receiver that's made the strides he has the past couple of years, the work ethic, the big moments that he shines in. That's the thing, too, about Agholor. A lot of people say, well, you know, he's going to be too expensive. I think at $9.5 million, that's reasonable now for what receivers make of Aguilar's stature. His average number is actually, on an article about a month ago. I did the average out of receivers that get paid in the $8 to $10 million range. Nelson Agholor the past 2 years has averaged more receptions, more yards, and more touchdowns than those players combined. So I think he's someone that is worth keeping around. You need future weapons for Wentz. And Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson, they are still playing at an extremely high level. And Alshon's going to be here longer than DeSean. But eventually, you only really have Goddard and Nelly right now that could be part of your long-term future. And Agholor is a guy that has stepped up on big moments, right? He had 9 catches in the Super Bowl. He was huge in that moment. I thought he got better as the games got more important last year, right? The Houston game, that huge touchdown. The Washington game to clinch the playoffs. He had 2 touchdowns in that game. I think he shines in a lot of big moments, and that is huge considering the strides he's taken the past 2 years. I mean, you look at his first 2 years, he just looked afraid of the moment. It was all mental with Agholor. So that's someone that I want to keep. And maybe, yeah, if it's going to be at $11 to $13 million, I know Devin Funches got that kind of money with the Colts, although it was for 1 year, then it's going to be tougher. Yeah, absolutely. It will be tougher to retain Agholor. So whether it's replacing Nelson Agholor or it's finding the eventual replacement for DeSean Jackson and or Alshon Jeffrey on the outside, they do need to find more youth at the position because there is no one that is under the age of 28 that has a long-term future with the Eagles right now at receiver, or at least that's guaranteed when we talk about Nelson Agholor. And what they do in the draft is going to be very telling about their plan at receiver. And I don't think it matters where they take one, because in the first round they could take a guy that's, you know, slot dominant, and that'll be very telling that, hey, this is Nelson Agholor's replacement. Or they could take a guy in the fourth round, but he ends up turning out to be, you know, if they find a way to get Terry McLaurin, say they move back in the third round, right, and they take a Terry McLaurin, or they go with a McLaurin in the second round, that doesn't mean that that's going to be Nelson Agholor's replacement next year. It could mean, hey, receivers, Howie knows receivers take a while to develop, using Agholor as that example. Let's use DeSean Jackson and Alshon and Agholor for a couple years, and then when this guy is 23, 24 years old, he is developed enough where we can plug and play and throw him out there to catch balls with Carson Wentz for hopefully a decade. So I don't think it matters where they take one, but I do think the type of player, who they select, doesn't matter, again, where in the draft, but who they select will be telling about their thoughts on Nelson Aguilar's future with the team and their future with DeSean Jackson specifically and Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, Alshon, I think, is still going to be a part of this team for a while. He, again, we talk about big moments. Alshon Jeffrey is one of the, just the past 2 years, he does not get enough credit for how good he is in the playoffs. And I know he dropped that pass at the end of the Saints game, but the guy hasn't had under 60 receiving yards in a playoff game in 2 years, and he's played in 5 of them. I mean, that's extremely impressive. I know he has a high cap hit, so maybe his future is even up in the air with the Eagles. I don't think it is. But DeSean Jackson, that guy's going to be, you know, he's in his mid-30s already. The speed is still there. But if that drops off in a year or two, DeSean Jackson's going to be someone that you're looking to get out of that contract. It's a 3-year extension, but, you know, with Howie Roseman, those extensions, there's not a lot of guarantees to it, and they can get out of that pretty easily if they want. So, you know, let's say they go with a Hakeem Butler, right? Let's say at 25, they go with N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, a Hollywood Brown. Those kind of players, I think, is, though, you can think about that as, okay, yes, they could be your slot guy, You know, maybe they trade Nelson Aguilar. Or in a year, that guy can play with Alshon and Deshaun, and you can move all three of those guys around. Jackson plays in the slot. Alshon Jeffrey can also do it. You just use three all-around really talented receivers as Aguilar goes elsewhere. But then those guys eventually do have the potential to develop as your outside wide receiver one or wide receiver two. Even a guy like Paris Campbell, I know people are concerned with the 4.5 air yards per target. And, you know, Michael Kist, a guy that I really respect his opinion, was kind of talking about this and saying if you didn't like Golden Tate's manufactured touches, then you're not going to like Campbell's. While I get that point, I get the logic, I think Tate's touches were first off forced, and I think they were inefficient. Whereas Campbell, I think he's way more explosive. You need that future speed because Jackson is a short-term solution to that problem. And he's someone that can grow into more. I think he has better hands than people give him credit for. I think in the red zone, he is dangerous. Down the field, although he didn't catch a lot of crazy deep balls, he has that speed. So that's something that you can develop. Again, someone, what they are in college doesn't always mean that that's what they're going to be in the NFL. Look at Ole Miss. Look at the receivers in DK Metcalf and DeMarcus Lodge and A.J. Brown. I mean, that route tree at Ole Miss is what, four deep? So that doesn't mean that that's only what they can do. Just because Ohio State only used Paris Campbell as a guy catching reverses and screens and quick crossers, that doesn't mean that's all he's going to be on the next level. Whereas Golden Tate, you kind of knew what he was going to be now at the age of 31 years old. So I still even think a guy like Paris Campbell can not only play in the slot, and I think he'd be great in Doug Peterson's offense. I think that's the type of receiver Peterson really likes to use, but I think he could develop into even more. I think he could be your new version of DeSean Jackson. So these are the type of players, you know, Hakeem Butler, Kelvin Harmon, N'Keal Harry, Marquise Brown, a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who Geno really likes, a guy that has all around just great body control, strong hands. He's like Anquan Boldin if Anquan Boldin was taller and can run a, you know, 4.4, like almost in the 4.3s. Arcega-Whiteside could be a steal for the Eagles. Or how about a Deebo Samuel, someone you could get at 25 or maybe at pick 53. I mentioned Terry McLaurin. And then a couple guys that are burners right now, but eventually have that upside where these aren't clear Nelson Aguilar replacements. They're more, you know, future pieces, a Mecole Hardman from Georgia or an Emmanuel Hall from Missouri. So I think it's very telling who they select, not where. Who they select, it'll kind of hint at maybe, okay, yeah, this looks like Nelson Aguilar is going to be replaced if they take someone in the slot. And we'll get into that in the next segment, kind of talking about players that is pretty telling they are Nelson Aguilar's replacement. But if they take any of the guys I mentioned, even Hollywood Brown, who a lot of people are concerned with his durability issues, which I do understand, only at 164 pounds right now, even Hollywood Brown to me is someone that if you take him at 25, which Peter King talked about, the Eagles could still possibly take him at 25, he's someone to me still, though, that could develop as one of your focal point options that is not just slot dominant. And to get into Hollywood Brown real quick before we take a break, and we'll get into some players that I just mentioned a bunch that to me wouldn't say it's Nelson Aguilar's replacement, more so they are just a future piece of the offense that can help right now. Right, you know, I'm going to get into the next segment. I'll get into some of the players that if they do take him, it's, yeah, that guy is going to be your, you know, your slot receiver of the future. But I just want to finish up this segment by getting into Marquise Brown from Oklahoma, because I got into it with Gino today. Actually, we had a discussion on Twitter about it, how Peter King said that the Eagles should take him at 25. A lot of people weren't a big fan of this take. And really, just taking a receiver in general, I don't think is a very popular opinion because the Eagles are so stacked in the position right now. But I think it's very logical. And specifically, Hollywood Brown. I'm in the, I think, the minority here that would actually be happy until you guys all start watching his highlights. And then you will get excited because this guy is built just like DeSean Jackson. You know, DeSean came out of Cal much like Hollywood Brown is, you know, not with the injury concerns as much, but with the size and with the deep ball ability. I'm cool with Hollywood Brown at 25. I think taking a receiver in general, it kind of fits the future need much like every other position. I mean, you can argue that every other position, you know, some people are saying, well, why do that when you can take Terry McLaurin later on or Andy Isabella or Mecole Hardman? It's, yeah, sure, but why should I take Cleveland Farrell if I can get, you know, Christian Miller or Charles Omenihue, right? One of those guys, or Ja'Kai Polite. Why should I take a Cleveland Farrell, or if Rashawn Gary fell for some godforsaken reason, then why would I take one of those guys? Anyone that you take, there's going to be other options, you could argue, later on in the draft. This is a very good draft class. And most of these guys are all going to be role players anyway. So you could say, yeah, that's going to be your fourth receiver. Sure. But you could select, what else are you going to be taking right now? Your backup left tackle, who doesn't play unless there's an injury. Your third safety, I guess that's an important position, but you did sign Anderson Dejo. You do have Avante Maddox, who can play the position. Running back, even. You have Jordan Howard now and Corey Clement. Who knows about Darren Sproles? I think running back is clear that he would be your RB1, but regardless, I mean, you look at, I mean, corner, if they did that, he'd be your seventh guy. Your linebacker would probably be your third guy, and you barely use three linebackers. Defensive tackle, they would be the backup to, they'd be a rotational piece to Fletcher Cox and Malik Jackson. So I don't think there's any, I don't know why there would be backlash towards receiver. I would understand it, I guess, if you don't like Hollywood Brown, but I really like Hollywood Brown. I think, look, Wentz needs future weapons. Like I said, there is no one guaranteed to be with Wentz in the next 5 years. So not only does he need future weapons in general, but Marquise Brown can be that deep threat that Wentz thrives with. You see that. Wentz is someone that is very good going deep down the field. And he could be a player right now that's used in sub packages. I would love to see a Hollywood Brown, Nelson Aguilar, DeSean Jackson, you know, speed package. He's someone that could be used in the punt return game. The Eagles need help when it comes to the return game, especially if Darren Sproles retires. And then he's only 21 years old right now. You give him a couple years to develop, to, you know, refine all his other abilities. I think he's someone that can play in the slot right now. So he could be Aguilar's replacement. He's someone that can make deep plays down the field. He does need to, you know, really round out the edges of himself as a prospect. But you give him a couple years with DeSean Jackson and those other two on the offense. And then at 23 years old, here's this young, speedy receiver that's going to come in and hopefully be Carson Wentz's deep threat of the future. I think Hollywood Brown is, if he can stay healthy, I like him. I really do. I think, again, you know, a Hollywood Brown, a Paris Campbell, while those guys can get drafted a little bit too high based on their just pure speed, I think at 25, I think based on the Eagles' lack thereof of needs, you know, there's not, it would make sense to be frustrated if Hollywood Brown got taken by a team, you know, top 10, like John Ross was a couple years ago, when that team needs a lot more needs. Been seeing needs a lot, I'm sorry. But, you know, it would make sense if a team up top had a bunch of other positions they need to prioritize, and they took Hollywood Brown. But the Eagles, like I said, I mean, they're going to be taking role players at this point that eventually can be core pieces down the road. And I think Hollywood Brown still fits that mold. He is someone that I like more than most. I think you could really develop him, and especially in a team right now, that he wouldn't have to come in and carry the team right away. So, and I want more speed on this offense. They're set when it comes to size with Alshon, Goddard, and Ertz. And Aguilar is that good slot receiver that can make plays down the field. But Jordan Howard at running back, Corey Clement. I mean, DeSean Jackson's really your only asset when it comes to speed on this offensive side of the football. All right, let's take a quick break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. This Monday edition, it's April 8th. I can smell the NFL draft coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Really excited, and I'm glad that you're tuning in to today's podcast. When we come back, I'll get into some options that if the Eagles take these receivers, I think it spells the end of Nelson Aguilar, perhaps after 2019, or even before the 2019 season. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It's Louis DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. By the way, keep an eye out. Keep tabs on the Locked On NFL Network on Twitter, on Instagram. There's going to be a really, really fun show. It's going to be like a mega mock draft with the draft guys from the Draft Network, the Draft Dudes podcast, all 32 Locked On podcasts for every NFL team. We're all putting together a massive draft simulation, and it's going to be really fun. We've done the picks. We're going to have live reactions. It's going to be a lot of fun, so keep it locked. You can subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast, Locked On NFL Draft, on any platform as well. If you subscribe to our show, you can find them and any other teams. It is the Locked On NFL Network. So let's get into here in the second segment of today's show. I want to get into some receivers that I think if the Eagles took them, it would be clear they are the long-term replacement for Aguilar in the slot, right? So if it's a guy like Hakeem Butler or Kelvin Harmon, N'Keal Harry, even guys like Paris Campbell and Hollywood Brown, I think if you took Arcega Whiteside, a Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, those are players that can develop where I think that doesn't say it's the end of Nelson Agholor. I think that's saying the Eagles need to find, because behind those three, you have Matt Collins, and then not a lot of certainty, right? Shelton Gibson is someone that just did not develop. He did not develop into the player you thought he could be coming out of West Virginia. So, you know, they could use just a guy in general that can be whatever you need him to be, a slot receiver, an outside guy, because they don't have a lot of guarantees there. However, if they take, let's say, Andy Isabella from UMass, a guy that's got that speed, by the way, he's in the 4.3s, but not a lot else to him. He's someone that would be a really good quick option inside. If they took Penny Hart, Terry Godwin, Greg Dortch from Wake Forest, he's only, I think, 5'7", but so twitchy inside. He is someone that can really create separation, the Demon Deacon himself. Hunter Renfrow from Clemson. Even Lil Jordan Humphrey, who's such a cool prospect for me, because I'm not a fan of bringing back that big slot receiver, much like Jordan Matthews. But Lil Jordan Humphrey is different. He is massive. They even ran wildcat packages with him where they just gave him a direct snap, and he's not crazy explosive. He doesn't create a lot of separation. Not the best route runner, but he is so hard to take down. And across the middle, he is such a dangerous target that I think Lil Jordan Humphrey, if you can get that guy in like the fourth or fifth round, that would be really awesome value to hopefully replace. And that's not someone that needs to replace Agholor. You can still extend Agholor long-term if you draft Lil Jordan Humphrey. Whereas if you take a guy like A.J. Brown, that's clear that Agholor is being replaced by A.J. Brown, because you likely have to take him at pick 25. And I'm not a fan of that at all. If I'm going to take a receiver in the first round or even the second round with that 53rd pick or 57, I need that guy to be able to develop potentially into a number one wide receiver or a number two. And A.J. Brown, I don't see it. I see a lot of Jordan Matthews, and a couple of you didn't like that comparison. A couple of you did understand it. I think he's a big slot receiver that's not great coming out of breaks. There's not a lot of spring in his cuts, like the Draft Network said in his scouting report. He's slot dominant, not someone that's going to really excel on the outside, or at least we haven't seen it so far. He struggles with separation. I'm not trying to hate on A.J. Brown as a prospect. I think he can be a very good player. He was the most productive Ole Miss receiver the past couple years. But just to me, he seems like that Jordan Matthews type of player, and I don't want that guy in the slot. I don't, especially when he doesn't have the versatility. He doesn't have the upside of maybe being on the outside. That's not someone I want to take that high of an asset or of a resource in. I don't want to invest the 25th overall pick in A.J. Brown because I don't see it. I don't see the athletic ability, you know, popping off the run after the catch. I think he's got a pretty good ability to go up and get balls in the air. I think he's got better hands than Jordan Matthews, but I don't know. That's comparison I see. I don't know if you guys think that's maybe a little too extreme, but I see a lot of Jordan Matthews or that kind of role when I think of A.J. Brown, and I'm not ready to go back to that. I don't think that he is someone that I would be okay with at 25. I would be okay actually more with a Paris Campbell, and maybe that's a hot take, but I would rather have a Paris Campbell than I would A.J. Brown. If I'm going to go with a player of A.J. Brown's level, you know, that safe option that you know you could plug and play right away and he'll produce. I mean, that's the thing. For everything that Jordan Matthews wasn't, someone that was very, I think, system-oriented, I think Chip Kelly's offense really helped his numbers, but he was a player that you could plug in right away, and he did make plays for the Eagles from 2014 up until last year. So A.J. Brown could come in right away and play, but if they're going to go that route, again, I want someone that could potentially be your wide receiver one in the future. Like, give me J.J. Arcega-Whiteside instead. I think J.J. Arcega-Whiteside will come in right away in 2019, and he'll make plays for you, right? I think Paris Campbell, maybe he'll take a little longer. Maybe Hollywood Brown will. Maybe some of these raw guys will take longer. But if I'm going to go A.J. Brown, I don't know. I'm not a fan of him really in what role he would have in Philadelphia as much as some other people would. He did meet with the Eagles, though. And that is telling. We'll get into, coming up as we wrap up the show, who else they've met with. Maybe that will tell some of the story of what their plan is at receiver. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back as we wrap up today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, talking about, you know, what Eagles player, whoever they take in this draft at receiver, what will that say about their plan at receiver? Again, so if they take a first-round guy, doesn't mean necessarily that that's going to be Nelson Aguilar's replacement, right? If it's N'Keal Harry, he's a guy that, yeah, he's played a lot in the slot at Arizona State, but he's also somebody that has a lot of traits to be a good vertical threat, a good outside guy. Whereas if they take an A.J. Brown, if they take Andy Isabella, right, in the, or let's say Terry Godwin in the fourth round, or Lil Jordan Humphrey later on, that could say more, hey, we're looking to get that slot player, that slot receiver at good value, because we're not going to be able to pay, or we're not going to want to pay Nelson Aguilar $13 million next year when he hits the open market. So, and I think it's telling that Aguilar hasn't got a deal done. Maybe, I think the Eagles definitely tried to get him at maybe the cap hit he's at right now at 9.5, maybe a little lower with some, you know, guarantees up front. And I do hope that they can still get a deal done, but yeah, it could be telling that they're just willing to go in this year with him as a free agent. But we shouldn't be concerned if you do like Aguilar, because they did bring back Ronald Darby and Brandon Graham. Like, they brought back unrestricted free agents this year. So I don't think it spells the end for Aguilar, but if they do take a guy like A.J. Brown, then I think it does say a little more they could be moving on. So A.J. Brown didn't meet with the Eagles. Hunter Renfrow did from Clemson. Emmanuel Hall from Mizzou. N'Keal Harry had an official top 30 visit. So did Paris Campbell on Snapchat. Looked like he was in Philadelphia actually this week. So they're just meeting with the Ohio State standout. So they've met with, I mean, guys that could do both. So I don't think who they met with has really kind of hinted at what their plan is. Paris Campbell, N'Keal Harry, Emmanuel Hall, those guys can all really be an outside receiver or an inside. And A.J. Brown and Hunter Renfrow, I'm not going to say A.J. Brown can't be an outside guy, but right now he is predominantly in the slot, and so is Hunter Renfrow from Clemson. I think that's how those two grade out as prospects and how their role in the NFL shapes out. So we don't know. We're not going to know the answer right now, and probably not even until the 2019 offseason, or the 2020 offseason, actually, because we'll see what they do with Nelson Aguilar. But it will be very telling. I think you'll get a much better understanding of what the plan is if they take a receiver at pick 25. And it depends on what that player's strengths are. I think after this draft, you will get a better understanding of what their plan is at receiver. And again, I don't think that how high they take one is telling of it. Although if you do take a guy in the first round, you're going to want that player on the field eventually. But again, with DeSean Jackson's future up in the air after 2 years, with Nelson Aguilar's future up in the air next year, you really won't know. But you know, it'll be interesting though. I think who they take, once again, the style of receiver could give you a little hint. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in once again on today's edition of the show. We got a really exciting week of podcasts with me and Gino. We're going to get into our My Guys rosters. I know I've been hinting at that for a while. We actually recorded it, but I wanted to do better with the roster, and I wanted to get Gino's roster as well. I soloed it, so we're going to release the new version of that this week, and we're going to create an ultimate rookie team with only $15 to work with. That's a fun exchange that we do a lot on Twitter. We see a lot of people do that. So got a lot going on this week on the Locked On Eagles podcast, and we hope you tune in. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Let's go, Birds.